Hey. Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. All right, here we are. Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave. We're here on a Saturday night here in Houston, Texas, where it has been hotter than a fever outside today, but we made it inside and thank the Lord for air conditioning. I so love the man who created air conditioning because I am a climate control type brother. That is just my thing. I cannot go anywhere. If you tell me ain't going to be no air conditioning, ain't going to be no JD. That's just all it is to it. I don't know how else to tell you, but I'm just not going to show up. That is. But hey, we got some hot topics we need to be talking about tonight, and I am in the studio tonight, my Gospel Soul Studios. I am sitting here alone, as you can see, and I'm going to carry this show regardless. But the thing is, I'm here because we are respecting the COVID-19 plague, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, this COVID-19 ignorance that has spread across our country. And we are steady dealing with it on a daily basis. And I'm here to tell you, I personally know about 7 people who have been infected. I don't know, do you call it affected or infected with this COVID-19 situation. And out of those 7 people, 4 of them have died. So you can sit around and play and act like it's not real if you want to, but there is nothing more real than death. And them closing that casket and throwing dirt in your face. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to get dirt thrown in my face if all I got to do is put a mask over my face and stay away from people 6 feet. Hey, back up, brother. Give me 6 feet, not 50 feet. But those are simple tactics that we can use to ensure safety of ourselves and others that are around us. So we're going to adhere to the laws and tactics that will help keep us healthy and keep things moving. So hey, we're gonna start off with a topic that probably has hit a lot of people, and we're talking again. I hate to talk about this type of situation, but it is something that happens weekly. It looked like now, so we need to talk about it weekly. And what I'm referring to is Mr. Rashard Brooks. This brother was shot, gunned down. Like I said, I'm so sick and tired of talking about situations like this. But he was gunned down by the local police in his area. And he is no longer with us. But let's talk about the situation that happened with Mr. Rashard Brooks. First of all, this brother went out and got drunk as he could possibly get, I guess, without passing out. Second thing, he made a decision to get in a vehicle and drive afterwards. Third thing, he didn't go home after he left a bar drunk. He went to a Wendy's and got in the drive-thru. Now, if you're drunk and you got to get home, just go home. But he went to the Wendy's, and he was so drunk that he fell asleep in the drive-thru and was holding up the Wendy's line. So people called the police because, let me tell you something, that time of morning, people are not going to approach a black man's car and knock on the window. That's just not conducive to your own health. So what they did was do what the proper thing, I think, was to do is call the police and let them handle situations. That's what we do when we want situations handled. Let me tell you something. As a black man in America who pays taxes, I don't have no problem calling the police. But I tell people this. If you call the police, understand that the police are going to do their job. That is what they are called for. And, I mean, we have family members who holler about, man, you didn't have to do that and all that. that have called the police on their own family members, and it resulted in a terrible situation, because you never know how the police are going to handle a situation when they get there. But I can tell you this, they are going to handle it. And we have to be mindful of that before we call the, as they say, proper authorities. Because the proper authorities are coming, and they're coming in full force. So the thing about that is, Rashard got there. He was drunk. They asked him, they tapped on his window when the police got there. Asked him to move out of the drive-thru. So he was asleep, first of all, when they tapped on the window, woke him up, had him to move out of the drive-thru. He moved out of the drive-thru, and between the time he moved his car and parked it out of the drive-thru, he fell asleep again. He was so drunk. The police had to come and wake him up again and get him out of the vehicle because he was so intoxicated. Now, once that happened, they pulled him out and they were doing a standard field sobriety test. If you've seen the video, this brother is so drunk, he didn't know, even know he was driving, first of all. Second thing is, he did not even know where he was when they started talking to him. He had so many explanations of how he hadn't gotten there. Now, you tell the police that your girlfriend dropped you off, but you are behind the wheel when they come and tap on the window. You're behind the wheel sitting in the drive-thru, sleep and drunk. Like I said, we as black people have too many circumstances that we put ourselves in that are unnecessary. This was an unnecessary thing that happened to this young man. Now, there were so many ignorant things that happened leading up to this shooting that it's almost hard to sit and talk about, because first of all, he left a place drunk as he could possibly be without passing out. Then he gets somewhere and passes out. Now, after that, when he's now the thing about it is, you are putting yourself in a situation where you may or may not be pulled over by the police driving drunk at night. Now, once he's pulled over, he has no recourse when you're pulled out of that car and you are drunk indeed. They did the standard field sobriety test. He blew into the machine. It was determined he was drunk. They were getting ready to arrest his brother. Now, the officer told him he was under arrest, grabbed his arm, and pulled his arm behind his back. Both officers were there. Now, instead of him going peacefully and letting them go ahead and cuff him and take him in, because let me tell you something. You may beat the case, but you're not going to beat the riot. So if the police tell you you're going to jail, just go and go to jail. That's just my personal opinion. I'm telling that to my brothers out there. If they say we finna go to jail, tell them, let's go. Put me in the back of the car, take me to jail. Let's go. We will. Your family can come and bond you out from jail. That's not a problem. But it's hard to come bond you out from the morgue. Get home safely, get down to the police station, get your bond, and come home. That's my advice to you. But the thing is, he chose that he's going to fight the police officer. Now, during the scuffle, he starts getting the better of the two police officers, if you're watching the tape. Now, when he gets the better of the police officer, at the time, he takes one of the tasers and takes off running with it. So the police are forced to chase you now because you took their taser. Now, while running with a taser, with two police officers chasing him, his mindset, because he was intoxicated, was I'm going to turn around and aim this taser at these officers. Now, first of all, the first officer, the one that you took the taser from, has no other recourse but his sidearm. The second officer, who is his partner, feels that his partner's life is being threatened with the taser, so he pulls his sidearm and opens fire on you. There is no way in America, as a black man, that you can consciously think that you are going to point any type of weapon at a police officer and there be a good outcome. I don't care if he had a slingshot. The thing about it is, if I was an officer, I would have shot him too. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's people say, well, he didn't have to kill him. You say that right now, but you aren't in the heat of that moment. You have to understand that police officers are people too. They have adrenaline. They have anxiety. They have personality. They have everything that a human has. And for you to sit there and say, well, he didn't have to kill him, I wouldn't have killed him if I understand what you're saying or whatever, but you are not in that situation. I have a caller that is ready to chime in. I want to hear some feedback and some bounce back, because I'm open to all angles and all views that are on this situation. So I have no problem talking to people. Let's bounce some things off each other. Go ahead, caller. If you want a caller, if you're there, press 1, please. So we can chime you in. Please press 1, caller, and we'll get you on the show. But anyway, back to what I was saying is you cannot, as a black man in America, consciously think that if I aim this weapon at a police officer, that this is going to turn out good in my behalf. There is no way in the world, I don't care how drunk you are, if you that drunk, you had no business outside, period. First of all, let's talk about that. But I am hurt because this happened to another brother. But the thing is, as black people, we got to quit putting ourselves in circumstances that can lead to this type of situation. If that brother had, let's just talk about it. First of all, I've been drunk as a skunk before out driving. So let's just get that going. All right, Carla, are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this
Who's
KJ.
That? Who's that? Oh, hey, what's up, Reverend KJ? What's happening? That's
what's
one
up,
of my Mark? Hosts, y'all. Reverend KJ on the line. I was waiting on him to call in because let me tell y'all something. He always has a different type of angle on situations, and different views. That's why he's such a prominent host on this show. And I love him being on this show and being part of the show. So, KJ, let's talk about
we're going through technical difficulties on my end as far as transportation is concerned. Otherwise,
right, right.
I'll be there to come to you with it. But
yeah.
With that said, first of all, let me establish a couple of facts in regards to that particular issue. First of all,
right.
It's not, to me, it's not a black or a white issue. And what I mean by that is, in this instance, particular instance, the guy happened to be black. But even if it was a white
right.
guy, I would still feel the same way that I feel about it. I'm not necessarily
right.
saying he did not die because he was black. And he could be white, Asian, or whatever. You know, I would still feel the same way. But my other,
right.
another thing in regards to the fact, they did accost him. They spoke to him. They talked to him. Ultimately got him out the car, was talking to him. One thing led to another. All three of them were in a tussling match on the ground. Dude, like you said,
right.
dude managed to get one of the tasers from the officers and started running. Turned around and pointed the tasers at the cops. One
right.
of the cops, neither cop was hit with the taser that he pointed. But one of the cops also had a taser himself. He didn't reach for his taser. He reached for his gun. Your life isn't your life. When you shoot those tasers, you got one shot. It ain't like you can, like you got six tasers locks you can shoot. You got one shot. You miss, you got to reel it back in and shoot it again. Dude hit nobody. Nobody's life was threatened. He's running away, and he has a taser. You also have a taser yourself, one of the other cops. You didn't reach for your taser. You reached for your gun. So nobody's life is threatened because nobody was even hit with it, number one. Number two, even if you were hit for the taser, the officer that was in front who lost his taser, the other officer had his taser. He never reached for his taser. Number three, you know who this guy is. You have all of his information. You could have just as easily had his car towed, put a warrant out for his arrest, and took him to jail. Or had a squad car go to his house and wait for him. Or get on your radio and call a car like they do all the time, call backup, hey, suspect is heading down, heading northbound on such and such and such. He has on such and such and such and such. Apprehend him. He's volatile and aggressive. It was all kinds of other alternatives you could have taken. I'm not saying deadly force isn't necessary at all. I'm saying deadly force wasn't necessary at that moment because you had other options you could have employed. And it has nothing to do with him being black. It has everything to do with the fact that when it is somebody black, deadly force is at the top of your list. Deadly force is at the top of your list of ways to address that. Because we've seen several times over where these guys were actually – and another thing I want to – because I hear a lot of people say we need to stop putting ourselves in these positions. We don't put ourselves in any more worse positions than anybody else. So what we do, white folks get drunk just like black folks get drunk. White folks get pulled over just like black folks get pulled over. So it's not like we the only ones that's doing stuff we ain't got no business doing. It's human nature to make mistakes. It's human nature to basically fuck up. Excuse me. Excuse me, y'all. It's human nature basically to mess up. That's going to happen inevitably.
Right.
But what should happen in situations when law enforcement are involved, case in point, like a case I mentioned to you earlier today, about I'll use myself as an example real quick, and I'm going to let you have the flow, Jay. If I'm a cop, and some store owner calls me and tells me, hey, somebody loitering out my, I got security camera in front of my store. Somebody's loitering around in front of my store hanging out looking suspicious.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to go check on it. I pulls up to JD's store or JD's barbershop. And I see two cats standing in front of your store. Now, naturally, I don't know what to expect in whatever exchange we're going to have. So, naturally, I'm going to some degree be on guard. But I'm not going to escalate the situation. I'm going to approach the situation, be visual about what's going on, where their hands are, what they're doing. But I'm also not going to escalate the situation if they're not. If they're just standing up, they're not saying nothing to me, they're not doing nothing suspicious. Hey, fellas, what's going on? Oh, ain't nothing, man. Y'all all right? Yes, sir. We good, man. We just set up there. Our buddy, I'll drop us off at the spot earlier to go somewhere. This is what he was going to pick us up at, so we just wait for him to pick. Oh, okay, so everything good, huh? Y'all ain't got nothing going on? Everything straight? You know, I mean, in other words, I'm going to keep the situation as calm as possible as opposed to coming over there, escalating the situation with my hand on my gun. Hey, let me see your ID. What you doing? It's approaches that they can take, and this applies to when they're dealing with black folks, white folks, or anybody. I'm saying across the board, officers should conduct themselves in a manner that keeps damage control to a minimum and not give the public a genuine reason to dislike or have disdain for you. And we don't see that consistently enough in the law enforcement department.
Right. I understand what you're saying. But let me explain something to you, Reverend KJ. I cannot go off of anything other than personal experience in life. You know, I am a product of my environment. I grew up in Southeast Houston, you know, South Park to be exact, straight off Urshwood. I am 51 years old, right? I have been to jail several times. I have been pulled over for DWIs. I've gone to jail for a DWI. One time only, because I never really got, I was, praise the Lord, I was lucky enough to make it home the other night without being pulled over. But I say this to say this, out of the 51 years that I've been to prison, I've been back and forth to the county, I've been to city jail, out of all those 51 years, I have never, ever been mistreated by the police in my life. And believe me, they had ample opportunity to pull me over and act ignorant with me. But let me explain something to you, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I feel like I have never been mistreated by the police. Because I don't act a fool with them when they pull me over, drunk or not. I've been pulled over where I could damn near couldn't even stand up out of the car, drunk, when I went for a DWI. I've also told a police officer before, hey, man, look, you can tie a shoestring around my arm and take me to jail. You ain't got no problem. If he tell me you going to jail, you arrested, you under arrest, guess what? My hands automatically go behind my back. I don't sit there. Look, I tell brothers, I used to try to tell my nephews, I tell all black youngsters that I know, you are not going to win a fight with the police. Second thing, you're not going to win your court case on the side of the road when they pull you over. The best thing you could do is go ahead and take the ride, let your family know you downtown, locked up, get you a bun, get bunded out, and bring your behind home. That's the best thing you could do. All that fighting with the law and I you know, feeling like they mistreating you and they wrong for stopping you. Brother, they may be wrong for stopping you, but guess what? They stopped you. The best thing you can do for yourself and for them is cooperate. Get downtown where you got to go, get you a bond out, and come home. That is your responsibility, you know, as a black man. You cannot honestly tell me, KJ. Hold up, KJ. Let me finish, first of all. You cannot honestly tell me that you thought it was all right for him to start fighting with them police when they said you under arrest and tried to put his arms behind his back. Now, what do you say about that right there? What is your angle on that?
You know, I agree with you 100% on that. He was wrong across the board, but he's not
right.
The one in the position of authority. He. If you want to charge him with assault on an officer and all that, hell, like I said before, if you want to rough him up a little bit because he rising with you, I'm not. He opened the door for that because from what I saw,
you can't assault
officers,
you cannot charge him with assault. You cannot charge him with assault if he don't make it down there. You don't charge a dead body with assault. See, that's the thing.
Not
you're not
I'm
understanding.
Saying.
You can't charge a dead body.
Not
the thing is,
KJ,
let me tell you something. If the police tell you you're under arrest, man, all you got to do is put your arms behind your back and go and take the arrest. All that fighting and acting a damn fool with them, you're not going to win, brother. That's a battle you're not going to win. Period. And you cannot.
At what point did I say that was a good thing? I never said that was a good thing. I never said he was right. I'm not giving him a pass
right.
on that. Yeah,
but
You just mentioned your personal experience, and we actually represent on a smaller scale the blacks here in America. You stated that in your 51 years of living. You've never
right.
actually had any personal issues with the law as far as them trying to do you. And that's kind of good because I know it's a lot of brothers that have. I'm going to tell you two experiences of mine real quick, my personal experience. Now, it's two brothers
right.
on this panel right now, and it's amazing how one of them has it and the other one has. And it's only, that's 50%. You do that on a larger
right.
scale, that's a lot of people. I'm walking to a
right.
store one day. This was back in 98. I'm walking to a store. Me and a buddy of mine had went out. He dropped me off. It was probably about 2:30 in the morning. He dropped me off. I'm at the house. I hadn't been drinking, wasn't drunk. My car was in the shop getting something done to it. It was a store, literally right up about 4 blocks up the street. I didn't have any cigarettes.
Right.
I go in the house. I take off my clothes. I put on me some sweatpants and a T-shirt, my flip-flops.
Right.
I'm walking to the store. The only thing I got in my pocket is my apartment, my car keys, my money for my cigarettes, and my lighter. I'm not committing no
right.
crimes. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not doing nothing. I'm walking to the store, literally, to give me some cigarettes and come back. It shows
right.
you how conditioned we are to the circumstances that we're subjected to. As I'm walking, it's a cop car coming up the street. Show you how
right.
often we get harassed. I knew this cop was going to mess with me. Soon as he passed me by, I said, I bet you he's going to turn around. Sure enough, I look back, he does a U-turn and come back. Call me over to the car, stop in the middle of the street. Hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing fine. He say, can you come over here for a second? I say, for what? He said, can you go? I'm bothering. No, there's nobody else out here. So there ain't nobody out here for me to be bothering. He calls me over to the car. I'm trying to, again, do what he should be doing and de-escalate the
right.
situation. That's his job, not mine. I walked to him. I said, how can I help you, officer? He said, would you mind putting your hands behind your back for me? I said, for what? He said, would you mind putting your hands behind your back for me? I said, obviously I do mind, officer. I'm asking you for what? What have I done? I'm minding my business. And again, I'm not a rape. I'm not yelling with him. I'm not arguing. But as a citizen, I have the right to know what I'm getting handcuffs put on me for. And I know I haven't committed no crime. Ultimately,
right.
because I see I'm getting frustrated, And I know when I get frustrated, I start yelling, and that's when the KJ come out as opposed to Kevin. I go on and put my hands behind my back. He said, for your safety and mine. I said, safety for what? What threat am I posing? But anyway, he empties out my pocket. See that I ain't got nothing but a $10 bill, a cigarette lighter, and my apartment key, my car key. Puts me in the car. He got me handcuffed in the front. My bad, not the back. Puts me in the cop car. Over the course of about 2.5 hours, four different cops come up to this car and look at me in the car. Ain't said nothing, just looking at me in the car. By this time, I got to use the bathroom. I tap my hand on him and I say, excuse me, officer, would you mind if I use the restroom? It's a porta can 15 feet away from me. I said, I guess I got to use the bathroom real bad, officer. Would you mind if I use the restroom? Hold on. That's what he tells me. Told me this for 2.5 hours. I asked him a couple other times. I said, officer, I'm handcuffed. I stay in those apartments right there. You have my ID. I'm not going anywhere. I just need to use the restroom. Officer never would let me use the restroom. Ultimately, I slid to the other side of the back seat of the police car because I had to go. I used it in the back of the police car. And a lot of folks laugh at it, but I'm dead serious. I had to use I wasn't trying to run or nothing. I just needed to use the bathroom. Dude wouldn't let me use the bathroom. I pissed on the floor on the other side of the cop car. They wind up taking me downtown. Even if I piss on myself, it's still going to be in the cop car.
Right. I said that's
what... He left me no choice.
No, I said that's what you said. Right.
As far as the cop is concerned, he can't get mad at it because even if I had a pissed on myself, officer, it's still going to be in your car. You just mad because I didn't do it on me. They're talking about the cop. They wind up taking me, this is before they even knew I urinated in the car. They wind up taking me downtown because I said I fit the description. Now, I ain't got no lawyer. Ain't been read no Miranda rights. I haven't bothered anybody. I haven't committed any crime. And this isn't an isolated incident. This happens every day. Dudes wind up taking me downtown, putting me in a lineup with supposedly seven victims. I don't have any legal representation on the other side of this. They put me in a lineup. I don't have any legal representation. Everything they did was illegal. Yet, I kept my composure. Had I not kept my composure and got pissed off and wound up getting shot, I'm not the one in the wrong. But what I didn't tell you also happened was when they got me to the police station and they took me out the car, and realized that I had urinated in the car, three of them took me on the side of the police station and fought me with handcuffs on. Three of them.
Okay. Right.
And they tried to charge me with that. The only reason they couldn't charge me with it because I told my lawyer, I said, dude, it was a security camera on the building next to the police station. I saw it. If you get that camera, you will see I did nothing. They took me over there, slammed me up against the wall, and tried to fight me. All I did was defended myself. That was it. So they had to drop that. Another incident. I'm at Carrington's. No, I'm at home, rather. My homegirl called me from Carrington's. This is around that same time. Hey, KJ, can you come pick me up? I'm like, where you at? I'm at home chilling. I stayed right there on Woodridge, right there on the side of Carrington's. I said, what's up? He said, I've been up here drinking. This police officer up here been hitting on me all night. And now he followed me to my car. I don't want him to take me to jail because I'm not giving him no play. Talking about I've been drinking and driving. I'm not drunk, but I don't want him to come harass me because I've been drinking because I wouldn't give him my number. So can you just come give me a ride home? I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to flip-flops on, shoot up the cameras. I get to the park, get to her car. He got her jammed up against the car, yelling for her to give him his keys, give him her keys. So I tell her, I say, Renee, give me your keys. She give me the keys. I'm not drunk at all. I hadn't been drinking. I'm at home, chilling.
Right.
I get up to get in the car. He tell me to give him her keys. I said, give you her keys for what? She don't need to be driving. She's been. I said, dude, she's not driving. I'm driving. She give me her keys. I said, again, give you her keys for what? She's intoxicated. Okay, look what she's getting in and look what I'm getting in. She's getting in the passenger side. I said, if you want to give me a breathalyzer, you can give me a breathalyzer. I ain't been drinking. Me and him nose to nose in Carrington's parking lot.
Right.
I'm abiding by the law. He isn't.
Right.
Yet he treated me like I committed a crime. His sergeant ultimately comes up here. His sergeant comes and asks me what happened. I said, officer, this is my friend. She's been up here with a couple of her homegirls. She had a couple of drinks. If you talk to her, you can see she's not intoxicated. but she's exercising what y'all tell us to practice on a regular basis, and that's having a designated driver. I stay right around the corner. I was at home chilling, watching TV. She asked me to come give her a ride home. That's what I'm doing. He said, have you been drinking? He said, so you weren't up here drinking? I said, officer, look at what I have on. No, I wasn't up here. I was at home. I'm just giving her a ride to the crib. He goes and gets on the other officer's head. Because basically he sees the officer just harassing her. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, the same cop and two more cops pull me and my homeboy over because they said I ran a stop sign. Wasn't even no stop signs in that area. But when I saw the cop face, I knew what he was messing with me for. It was the same cop. Took me out the car. It was about five cars of us. This dude tried to throw some dope down on the ground by me. The only reason he couldn't let it stick because everybody in the cars behind us saw him do it. And they told him they saw him do it. This dude tried to plant some dope on me. So what I'm saying is, even when we conduct ourselves at times the way we should conduct ourselves, we still get disrespected and treated. So it's not always about how we conduct ourselves. They should be held accountable about how they conduct themselves. Because I just gave two examples of where I completely carried myself properly and still tried to mess over.
And you know what? You know what, KJ? You're absolutely right. But the thing is, brother, there's a lot of stuff that you said in those different instances where things would have been different if you had managed them a little differently. And I mean, we can go on about that all night, but that we're not going to talk about that all night. We're going to move on to the next subject. You know, because I mean, come on, we all know that police are misusing their authority. That's one of the biggest problems they're talking about. Since we're talking about police officers, let's talk about this. Did we have another caller?
No.
Okay. Let's talk about this. What are they calling defunding police in different cities? Have you heard about that?
You said defunding?
No, defunding, like stop payment and financing police in those cities. They don't want to fund police officers in the city. They want to break it up. They want to break up police forces in these cities that are having problems. Now, first of all, let me explain something to you. I think that's one of the stupidest damn ideas in America. That's just my personal opinion. Because let me tell you something. As a taxpaying black man, I want the option to call the laws on you if you're acting a damn fool with me. That's just all it is to. I don't want the police force defunded. Now, I would love for them to be different than what they are. But as I tell people all the time, when you call the police going to come and do their job. Their job is to stop and cease all the damn foolishness. Now, you cannot call the police, and then when the police get there, tell them how to do their job. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You cannot call the law. And when you get there, hold up, wait a minute. Don't grab him like that. Don't do this. No, that's not what they do. The police get out and they handle the situation. They usually end up having to handle situations that we as citizens didn't want to have to handle. So you cannot tell them how to handle it. If you had a vision on how it should have been handled, handle it your damn self, man. Don't even call the police. And that's just the way I feel about the situation. But we want to call the police, then tell them how to do their damn job when they get there. That's not how it works. You can't have it both ways. So how you feel about that? What do you think about the defunding of the police? Do you think that the police forces in these cities should be dismantled?
Nah, that's stupid. That's stupid. That's stupid.
Exactly. That's the dumbest damn thing.
If you don't have order, you're gonna have chaos. So
exactly.
What I feel like they should do is start holding them accountable for when they do mess up. I saw a video earlier today where a cop had an 11-year-old boy with like about five other kids around him. The cop smashing the boy's head on the wall and kicking him. And the other kids, they his friends, they try to tell him. He pulls out his gun on five 11-year-olds.
Right.
And takes another one that's videotaping it and slams him against the police car and arrests him. That's not how you handle a situation.
Oh, he's dead damn wrong.
He pulled his gun out on 5 11-year-olds. I mean, and now one of these kids over 50. You know what I'm saying? And he big, big heavy said, the big fat dude. My point of saying that is, ain't no wrong with handling the situation if you handle it properly. Police force should be defunded, no, because we need police. We need police. You can't have, if you don't have order, you have chaos. What I still feel like, they should be held accountable. If you go out there and do something you ain't got no business doing, all that administrative leave stuff, that's out the window. We will put you on suspended. We will suspend you without pay during the investigation. And if at any point in the investigation we found out that you were wrong and broke the law as opposed to enforce the law, you will be fired, period.
Right.
And what that's going to do is make them do that job the way it should be done. But as far as them handling themselves, come handle the situation, but handle it legally. We don't need you beating up some pregnant woman and throwing her to the ground who posed no threat to you. That's not handling the situation. That's escalating the situation.
Right.
Handle it, but if she's pregnant and she's tripping, okay, get her, put her hands behind her back, and she try to talk. You can't make me believe it. As big as I am, I gotta slam some 16-year-old girl to the ground just to get her under control. I'm 6'4", 300 pounds.
Right.
All we asking is that they abide by the same law they expect us to abide by. Just because you got
fast
don't mean you're above the law.
I agree with you, but you have so many of them who have a. That's why I'm always advocate for mental evaluations for police officers, because the mentality of them change. The mentality changes from year to year, and you got to understand that they suffer from PTSD just like a military vet would, with the situation and the things that they see. They suffer from PTSD. They're not evaluated enough and often enough for those to be pulled off and out of the line of duty who are not fit for duty. There are a lot of officers working day to day that are not fit for duty, but they send them out every morning. They send them out every morning after a briefing and let them go out and patrol the streets in these different neighborhoods. So we need to have a better situation as far as them understanding which officers are fit for duty and which ones are no longer fit for duty. It's just like a military guy who has been through too much, and they will send him home with honorable discharge. Send these officers home with an honorable discharge. Put them on their pension or whatever time they've served and send them on about their business. But instead, they leave them out on the street and let them continue to serve and beat the hell out of people. They shoot people. They do all kinds of stuff because they are not mentally fit to be out there on the police force. Now,
can
with that being said,
real quick?
Go ahead. Make it real quick too.
I think, go ahead, bro. We can talk, like you said earlier. We can talk, me, you, Queenie, Reggie, anybody else that we can think of. We can sit and talk about different issues with the police force. But what I implore our people to do is we need to take a hard look in the mirror our damn self. And what I mean by that is, yes, we can sit here and say the system is oppressing us and it's systematic racism and it's illegal bank practices. And it is. All of that is legit. All of that is actually in effect as we speak. But let's start holding ourselves to a certain standard too, because I shouldn't be comfortable. Or not just me, but us as a people, we shouldn't be comfortable with always pointing fingers at other problems and not addressing our problems internally. And I know a lot of our problems internally are because of what we've been subjected to, but all of it ain't.
Right.
Some of it we can fix by ourselves. And the reason why you don't hear this as much in the Asian community, as much in the Hispanic community, as much in the white community, as much in the Indian community, is because they move as a unit. They move collectively, and it's hard.
Right.
It's hard to deal with one of them, because if you disrespect or do something illegal, I'm talking about the police officer, to one of them, you have a whole community that's behind them. We are so spread out and at odds with each other that they feel like they don't like themselves, so they don't treat themselves right, so So why should we treat them right?
Exactly.
That is
and
part
they're
of
right.
their mentality.
And that's
we,
part of the
we
problem.
Like we don't care about each other, so why should we care about it?
Right, exactly.
So
I agree with you.
We need to do some soul searching, and I'm saying we, I'm talking about black people in general. We need to do some soul searching
right.
and pull out our super glue and come together too, man, because the minute they see
right.
that we moved as one, five fingers on a fist, they're less likely to deal with us because they know we have our own lawyers now. We have our own doctors
right.
now. We have our own judges
right.
now. And in addition to the
right.
best interests of the general public, they also got the black people's best interests at heart too. And it's hard to infiltrate. It's hard to open up a clenched fist. You can't. It's dang near impossible.
Right.
So we need to do some soul searching ourselves, man, and get a basically get our stuff together.
Right. Brother, you said you was gonna be quick. You lied to me.
My bad. My bad.
But anyway, I'm cutting you off because we need to pay some bills. And what I mean by that is we have a paid advertiser for the My Gospel Soul family, and we have a black-owned, matter of fact, I must add that it's a black-owned Christian academy. Now, this academy is called Munchkin Christian Academy. It is a prestigious private school. It is run by a young black lady who is trying to make her mark in the education system for the Houston area. She is now enrolling for her school. So if you have any little kids who need to be enrolled in a private school, she has enrollment available right now. And the let me give you her website. Her website is munchkinchristianacademy.org. And that's spelled M-U-N-C-H-K-I-N, christianacademy.org. And her number is 832-879-8370. So you go out and get these kids enrolled in a private prestigious academy. We want to go ahead and support our people. And like I said, this is a black-owned business who advertises with the My Gospel Soul family. And we want to say that we appreciate her advertising with My Gospel Soul, and we just like to say welcome to the family. And here at My Gospel Soul, we support our own, and we love our own. So again, that's Munchkin Christian Academy, and that's, they are now enrolling at munchkinchristianacademy.org, and the number is 832-879-8370. Go out and support her. Thank you. But back to our, we're going to move back on to our next subject. KJ,
hey.
I got a topic I want to talk about, brother, and I know it's a touchy situation when it comes to black men and their mama. I'm going to talk about the black man and his mama dynamic, right?
Ooh,
first of all, let's understand that the first woman that every black man has ever loved was his mama. Let's talk about that factor first. Second thing, this is my question, KJ, and I want to know how you feel about this. Should a black man discuss with his wife helping his mother out financially? How do you feel about it? Exactly. I want to hear what you got to say about that, KJ. Any of you callers out there or people in Facebook land, if you have an opinion on this, I'd love to hear it, and we love to talk about it and bring your point of view up. But I want to know, how do you feel, KJ, about a black man? Should he discuss helping his mother out financially with his wife?
Okay, I go anywhere. I go in any direction too far, but I'm gonna get raked over the coals. But
yeah, we both are. Don't worry.
If both of them, if him and the wife, if the finances he's using to help his mother, and it also depends on his mother. Now, if his mother's just out here messing up left and right, and he constantly bailing out, then yeah, I got a problem with it. But if his mother's just in a situation where she's done her due diligence, she's just in a tough spot, or she's older and can't work and just don't have the money to do what she needs to do on a regular basis, you know, yeah, I don't have a problem with it helping out. Hell, I might even, you know, if she's just up in age and can't get around and, you know, I might even consider letting her come stay. But if she's just out here gambling and drinking and partying and 70-something years old acting like she's 20 and,
If she
handling her business and she's just at a point in her life because of her age where she can't do what she needs to do, first of all, I would like to believe that my wife understands that if the shoe was on the other foot and he was her mama, I'd be willing to do the same thing because these are good women. If they loved us and did their job, they just up in age. Well, now, just like they changed our diapers, it's time for us to change theirs. So, you know, we're going to do whatever we got to, but I know a lot of folks don't agree with that. I just, me personally, I'm going to use my mama for example. If my mama called me right now and asked me, can she borrow $100? And I got a girlfriend, I'm giving it to mama, no question. No question asked.
Carl, if you're on the line. Okay, then, hold on 1 second. Carl, if you're on the line, go ahead and press 1 so that we can chime you into this conversation. Go ahead, KJ. Go back to what you were saying. Huh?
But that's just my mama. Okay, well, I know my mama's a good woman. My mama did her job. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with
KJ,
it. I
hope my lady would. KJ, we have a call on the line. Caller, go ahead and chime in. Hello?
JD.
Yeah.
JD. What is
your
name? Big Steve coming from Heim Clark, baby. You know I got to weigh
in. Hey, by time you join in here.
I hit the thing to be requested to be in the video. I agree with KJ to an extent, but here's the thing. You know, if you're married, you know, when you get married, it says to leave and cleave. So now me and my wife, we become one flesh, and I've been in that situation, you know, where either my mom or dad needs some help, or her mom needed something. You know, like when the hurricane hit a couple of years back, her mom and dad's house got flooded. They came and stayed with us for a minute. Now, it was a no-brainer, even though both of our names on the lease, she still felt, hey, baby, how do you feel about it? You know, and I was like, oh, come on. It's family.
Right, exactly.
You know, it wasn't a big deal. And the same thing, you know, when my dad or my mom were, baby, I need X, Y, and Z. And, of course, I give it to her, but I always run it past the wife because just out of respect. Hey, baby, listen, mama need a couple of dollars. You know, I know you don't mind, but, you know, I'm just going to run it past your mama and give mama a couple of dollars. Of course not. That's your mama. And if her mama needs something, it's the same way, but it's just out of respect for each other because both of our names are on this bank account, you know, we put our monies together. It's just a respect thing. You know.
Well, let me explain something to you, Steve. I love two aspects of what you said, right? First aspect that I love about the answer that you gave was respect. And the thing about it is in a marriage, respect has to come first. You see what I'm saying? Second thing.
And it's got to be reciprocated.
Exactly. I'm going to put it like this, mutual respect. That covers it all. The second thing that you said that I really adhere to is the biblical term that you use, leave and cleave. See, the thing about it is, in biblical terms, when you marry, you leave your mother and father's house and become one with your wife, like you said.
Yep.
The thing is, how can you not consult your right hand about what your left hand, you got your left hand doing? You see what I'm saying?
If you married a good woman and she has a good spiritual foundation just like you do, she'll also understand the Old Testament where it says honor your mother and your father so that your days are long. You know,
exactly.
If you think about when they use the word mother and father, they use the word Abba for father, which is synonymous with teacher. So you think about who your first teacher was, who taught you first? It was your mother and your father. You know, and so you honor them. And if they need your help, you know, if you got a good woman, of course she's not going to mind you helping. But I think she would still feel respected, that if she would feel so much more endeared and respected by you if knowing that you respected her enough to, hey, baby, let me run this by you first. I know you're not going to mind,
exactly.
And I know you it's not a big
exactly.
deal, but I'm going to run it by you first because I'm supposed to, because we do this as one.
Exactly.
You know, when I go to the store and think about buying a big purchase item, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just go make it by my own, you know. They sir, we offer you so much credit today, and you can get you this big screen TV. That may be fine and dandy, but I'm not going to come on, hey, baby, surprise. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to, hey, baby, what do you think about this deal? You know, I'm always running by because she may have a different take on it. She may have a different experience. Maybe one of her sorority sisters or her best friends or somebody had a problem with a certain business that I don't know about.
Right.
You know, and just like you talk about how Queenie, you know, is smarter than you. You always say Queenie, it got a good head on her shoulder and something. You say she's smarter than you. I feel the same way about my wife that. She knows some things that I'm not going to take her for granted.
Right.
Especially
exactly.
if I want a happy life. Happy wife, happy life.
Hey, happy spouse, happy house, though, man. I got to be happy, too, here.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. Happy spouse, happy house. That's how it is. Not just the wife got to be happy. Hell, I got to be happy, too, else this is going to be a bad day in that crib, too. So that's just all it is, too. And
well,
I said it.
You got to have a house of peace. You got to have a house
hey,
of peace.
Hey, man, look. I meant that, represent that, and there's a fight that go with that, so I ain't tripping. But anyway, like I said, back to this situation when it comes to dealing with mama. Mama is a touchy situation around a lot of households because a lot of wives feel like they are in competition with mama. And see, the thing as a husband, the first thing you got to do is dissipate and diffuse that situation if that exists in your relationship. You never want your wife to feel like she's in competition with your mother. That's just like me. I'm gonna tell you the truth. My mama is my best friend. Me and my mother talk about anything and everything. But I also talk about anything and everything with my wife. And my wife knows that she is my best friend as well. We have conversations that I would never have with my mother. And that's just how it works. You know, but you have to make sure that your wife never feels like she's in competition if you want things to work out in your household. So,
and if she's an honorable mother, she's going to respect the relationship that you have with your wife.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like I said, as a man in the relationship, it is up to you to honor and to harbor that relationship and make sure that it's a healthy relationship between your mother and your wife. Now, the thing is, you have to deal with both of them women. Your mama, you may have to deal with her on her being disrespectful, or you may have to deal with your wife being disrespectful. So the thing is, you have to find a healthy flow or a healthy medium in there somewhere to deal with that situation. Luckily, I've been blessed that my wife and my mother get along so well, it's ridiculous. My mother loves my wife, and my wife loves my mother. So I am blessed to have that type of dynamic in my relationship. I other than that, I'd be gray and bald-headed snatching because I love both of them ladies. You know, so I have to make sure. I have to make sure that their relationship stays healthy, and it is a rational as well as a nice relationship between the two women who are the most important things in my life. You know, I'd be a damn fool to let either one of them disrespect each other or to, you know, feel like they in competition with each other. I'd be a damn fool to do that. So my thing is, as a black man, we have to understand the relationships that we are going through and the dynamics of each relationship. Like I said, there is a situation that a lot of men find themselves in. Should I help my mama or not? Yeah, my answer to that is hell yeah, you're supposed to help mama. And the thing is, like I said, you need to, as a man, run stuff, financial stuff that is going to affect that household. You have to, it's your duty to honor and respect your wife in that situation and talk with her about situations like that. So my answer is yes. And that's just how I would handle it. And you know, that's just how it would go. What are you saying? Oh, okay. All right. So we'll move on.
I don't know if we want to go a step further.
Hold on, KJ. I don't know if we want to go a step further with you. I don't know if we want to go a step further with you. But sometimes your damn turn out to be a damn leap. So is it just a step or is it a leap?
No, it's just. I agree with what you said. I'm not a fan of being around guys that do disrespect their mother. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, if I ever went to her school and saw you disrespected mama, either I'm gonna say something to you, or I'm gonna get up and leave. You know what I'm saying? If I'm comfortable with seeing you do that, then something wrong with me too.
Right. Well, let me explain something to you. And I'm gonna just leave it like this. There is no woman that should marry any man that disrespects his mother. That happened way before her. And if he disrespects his mama, he damn sure ain't gonna respect you. So we're just going that. And let me tell you something. That's another topic for a whole nother show. We'll talk about that next week when y'all are here in the studio. But anyway, let me move on to another segment of this show, and I want to talk about who is shenanigans. We have 3 minutes to talk about the hood. We have 3 minutes to talk about any hood shenanigan that you have seen this week. KJ, you always in the hood. I want to hear a small story about some hood shenanigans that you've seen this week that just really burned your little bridge. So go ahead, brother. It's on you.
Okay.
I think I know what you're doing, but okay, go ahead. What you got?
Okay. I got one. Say, fellas. I don't care if you 5 or 500.
Right.
Even more so if you're closer to 500 than 5.
Right.
Y'all boys gotta learn how to handle y'all liquor a little bit better than y'all do, man.
Huh.
I'm gonna need y'all especially if you 50 plus. And you out here in these streets getting sideways with that bottle of Jack or whatever you drink, and your body rocking like you still 21 years old, say, boy, you got folks out here that's going to fold you up, man. If you can't handle your liquor better than you had your, if you had 50-something years old, can't handle your liquor better than you did at 21, 22 years old, then something is a problem. And I'm going to need y'all catch, man. And I'm speaking about a particular issue. I ain't going to go into detail. Because the cat that was involved was rather sensitive, and I don't want nothing to get back to him in regards to something negative.
Hello?
But he know who he is.
Let me explain something to you about a clown. Hello? I don't care nothing about a clown being sensitive. If you sensitive, don't be a clown. That's my information. That's from me to you for free. But I understand what you're... Yeah, but we have, like I said, we have enjoyed tonight's show.
Like this. If you get drunk, Lisa, you getting slapped by a cat that's about to die, there's something wrong with
you. Didn't I tell you you only had a limited amount of time? Hush. We will get to you next week. We're going to start hushing at it a little early because KJ don't know how to be quiet. But anyway, we'll see y'all next week, and we appreciate y'all tuning in for JD's Man Cave. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it, fellas. And we'll see y'all again next week. KJ. Sign off.
All right, bye-bye. I'm going to call mama now.
Bye. Steve Bobino. Bobino. Holler at you, baby. That's Steve Bobino signing off. We'll get back to him. Bobino.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Sign off, baby.
Yeah, I'm here, man. All right, sign off. Steve. I'm trying to say, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, this is Big Steve here signing off from Heim Clark, from the dead end straight to the Heim Clark, all the way to Spring, Texas. Got to catch me in JD's Man Cave every week. Be here be somewhere, but you got to be here. This is where it all goes down.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve, for chiming in. And we thank y'all for tuning in to JD's Man Cave. We'll see y'all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Did you get it, production manager?
Oh, I forgot your show opening that fly.
Yeah, you made it. You the one did.
You know I did that beat, right?
Did you?
Yeah. And that beat, we in my living room at the table when I did the sound bite.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she made up the beat. And
forgot you made the whole situation.
Forgot she did the whole situation.
And I'll tell you,
my wife.
I would love to actually help you. I wish you were here.
Yeah, we wish you was here, Mayor.
A lot. I mean, but I would be able to, I can still schedule the shows for you every Sunday. Or will we need to do Saturday because I'm still
looking at Saturday. That's what I want to do. I need somebody to pre-schedule the show.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you have the camera, I need to drop, take these pictures off that. She has red, black, and yellow bags. I need to take these